Thanks, folks. That was really inspiring, wasn't it? Yeah. Certainly one of my favorite songs, Mike and Mechanics, In the Living Years. Good job trying to hit Mike Rutherford's notes. That's not easy, is it? Trying to do that, singing, getting ready, and I was having to hit some falsetto to do that. Got a question for you. And that question is this. Can anyone relate to Clint Eastwood's character, Walt Kowalski, in Gran Torino? Anybody? I mean, here's this guy. Here's a guy, he's a Korean War veteran. He's a Ford plant retiree. He survived working in a factory. And he lives in Detroit. And his son and his daughter-in-law kind of patronize him, don't they? Right? And you can tell, Mike, he's ready to blow a gasket over this, isn't he? Right? I mean, and by the way, Gran Torino, I think it's a great movie with an awesome moral. Read John 15:13 and go watch the movie. Okay? If you don't mind a little coarse language, because Walt's kind of, you know, he's got some rough edges. But he embodies what Jesus talked about in John 15 really, really well. How about that song by Mike and the Mechanics, In the Living Years? Anybody identify with that song? Huh? Yeah, the sometimes the tension that exists between the generations. The fact that we don't always say all the things we want to say. Or we have different perspectives. We don't see eye to eye and we don't hear each other when we're speaking in defense. You know, the Bible says the counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of His heart from generation to generation. Listen, that's the wonderful news of this book, is that God has a wonderful plan for your life. And that plan got passed on to you from the generations above you, didn't it? And you are now responsible to pass on the wonderful story of God's plan for people's lives to those generations beneath you. Those that follow you. And that's how God created us as families. We're in this series, It's All Relative. We're looking at God's relational rules for families. And we've looked at kind of the blueprint, the overview. We've looked at parents and teens last week. Next Sunday in that message, hooking up, we're going to look at dating. To date or not to date? That is the question. And we're going to look at God's boundaries. Because He's got some clear boundaries, doesn't He? But right now in this message, when I'm 64, we're going to look at dealing with the generations above us, the top tier generation, and as a top tier generation, those beneath us. No, I'm not in a top tier generation yet. Thank you, Mom and Dad. Thank you, Mimi. Not there yet. And I'm glad, I'm grateful. But some of you, how many of you are the top tier generation in your family line? Huh? Mr. Fisher, you got to raise your hand too. That's right, see? Yep, there you go. Top, you're the top tier. The buck stops here, right? Nobody higher on that rung. It's scary. It's a scary thing. You know, I grew up in a three-generation family. My grandmother lived with us from the ages of 12 or 2 to 14. And I saw firsthand the riches and the challenges of multi-generational families. God's got great rules about how to relate to the generations above us and beneath us. And one of them even made God's top 10. And let's look at God's blueprint for how we're to treat each other from generation to generation. You can pull that orange or yellow outline out. You could follow along. Because God's blueprint, the scriptures, show us two key qualities that people of advanced age have that require special treatment. And the first is the Bible reminds us that age brings wisdom. Write that down. Age brings wisdom. You see, wisdom is defined as the ability to use experience and knowledge to make sensible decisions or judgments based on that accumulated knowledge or learning towards a goal or an end in mind. That's what it is. It's the ability to make sensible decisions and judgments based upon the accumulated knowledge and experience. See, the Bible says there's a positive correlation between age and wisdom. The older you get, hopefully the wiser you get. It's not a ironclad correlation, right? We often confuse knowledge with understanding and wisdom. And we delude ourselves to think that we're smarter than our aging family members because they're not up on the latest technology. We can look down on them and say, man, you're out of it, right? Listen, man, you need to understand this. Technical competence does not make you wise, does it? It does not make you wise, and neither does age alone. By the way, neither does age alone. In fact, the Bible says that it's God's Spirit in a person. It's the breath of the Almighty that makes wise human insight possible. Experts have no corner on wisdom. Getting old doesn't guarantee good sense. The Bible says, is not wisdom found among the aged? Yes. It can be found among the aged. When you grow old with God, you will get wiser, won't you? Because God is the author of wisdom. You see, I love what David says. David says, the law of the Lord is perfect. It gives new life. His teachings last forever, and they give wisdom to ordinary people. Can you circle that? God's teachings give wisdom to ordinary people. Now, how many of you consider yourself an ordinary person? I'm very ordinary, right? I admit it. You know? Ordinary guy. See, the Bible says that God plus age equals wisdom. God plus age equals wisdom. And older godly people have a lot of wisdom. A great example, a great pair of examples are this older couple. They're not married. We don't even know that they're related. Simeon and Anna in Luke chapter 2. And so your homework for this week is to go and read Luke chapter 2. Read about Simeon and Anna. What's really interesting is that these are the first people who discern what Jesus' identity and His destiny is. And they declare it, and they're older people. It's a great story, and it shows us that God plus age equals wisdom. It's positive correlation. God has placed older, wiser people in our families, in our churches, and in our culture for a reason. You know what that reason is? So you don't have to repeat their stupid mistakes they made when they were young, right? It's the truth, because we all make them, don't we? It's so you don't have to repeat those stupid, painful mistakes. See, the generations above me are more experienced, more wise than I am. And therefore, the Bible says, therefore I am to respect the aged. Write that down. I'm to respect the aged. Age brings wisdom, therefore I am to respect the aged. Now this rule to respect the aged is so important that it made it into God's top 10. The big 10. And I want you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. You can grab that Bible in the rack in front of you, the blue one. And it should be, let me know what it is. Page 65 or something like that. Exodus is the second book of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Those five books comprise what's called the Torah, or the book of the law. And those are the rules that Israel were given to live by. In that second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus, chapter 20, is the story of the first time that Moses gave the Ten Commandments. He goes up on the mountain, this 80-year-old guy, right? About 100 by then. Comes back down and he's got this set of rules that God gives him. And look in verse 12. It says, honor your father and mother so that you may live a long life in the land your God is giving you. Now circle that word I've got it in your program too, by the way. I want you to circle that word, honor. Circle that word right there in your outline, okay? That's a really important word. It's the very first word in the very first rule that God gives about how we're to relate to each other. See, the first four commandments have to deal with how we relate to God, right? I'm the Lord your God. Shall have no other gods before me. First commandment. Second one, you must not make any idols of worship in any way. The third one, don't misuse the name of the Lord your God. Fourth one, keep the Sabbath holy. And we're doing that right now by meeting on the day our Lord rose from the dead. And Karen is freaking out. I'm making her work hard on this. So here we are. The first four commandments have to do with how I relate to God. Number five, the very first commandment on how I relate to other people deals with who? The generation above me. And the very first word of that very first commandment about how I'm supposed to relate to people is the word what?
Honor.
Honor. That word honor. To honor is to esteem someone, to treat them with dignity and respect. And it's not limited just to family. In fact, God told the whole nation, the people of Israel, to do this, to stand up in the presence of the elderly and show respect for the aged. Fear the Lord your God, for I am the Lord. Now, some of you that are old enough, you might remember a day when it was customary to stand up in the presence of dignitaries or aged people. Anybody remember that? Anybody old enough to? Okay. Even women, yes. Now we just stand up for like judges, right? Because we're scared spitless. Right? So we've kind of lost that in our culture. Now, why would God have that rule? Why would He kind of tell them, hey, stand up in the presence of the aged? I think it's a reminder. He wants us to remind ourselves that since age brings wisdom, we're to give them respect. We're to be deferential to those who are older and wiser because they're God's gifts to us. They're God's gift to us. The Bible says that growing old is a good thing. American culture doesn't say that, does it? American culture says that growing old is a bad thing. Because we worship youthfulness. We worship beauty. We worship fitness. See, the chronological age of the epicenter of pop culture is about 25, they say, in America. Okay? About 25. We try to avoid aging, don't we? Tummy tucks, Botox, you name it, you know. Hair implants. I'm not buying into that stuff. When I get older, losing my hair. Many years from now. I love that. You know, Paul McCartney penned that song when he was 16. And he is now 65. 2007, he was 64. And you know, he asks those two important questions, though, that really are universal human questions. Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64? I mean, this commandment to honor our parents, to respect the elderly, that's all about needing them, isn't it? Recognizing their value to us, to our families, to our churches, to our culture. And we're to honor and respect them. We're not to disregard or dismiss their experience and their advice. God says that we're to answer that question. It's our responsibility to answer that question. Will you still need me when I'm 64? He says, yes. And you do that by honoring them, by respecting them. How do you honor somebody? How do you honor people? How do you honor the elderly? Anybody? See, it's just rolling off the tip of our tongues, isn't it? Huh? Do things for them. Okay, anything else? Recognize them. Spend time with them. Don't belittle them. Yeah, don't patronize them, right? Like Walt Kowalski's kid, right? Listen to them. I didn't hear my mother-in-law. I'm tone deaf. I'm sorry, baby. It's the same frequency as my wife, and I'm tone deaf. That's what my wife would say. Selective deafness, right? Here's what the Bible says about having and showing respect. Okay? It says this. It says, never speak harshly to an older man. Appeal to him respectfully. It says, treat older women as you would your mother. Man, not as a teenager though, right?
Amen.
Okay. Treat older women as you would your mother. Then this one in Proverbs says, listen, my sons, to a father's instructions. Pay attention. Listen, pay attention. The next one, get wisdom. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Don't just ignore them and write them. Oh, those are babblings of an old, right? We do that all the time. We dismiss the advice of the aged. And then it says, get wisdom, don't forget, don't swerve from. Listen and accept what I say. I guide you in the way of wisdom. St. Paul writes, he says, our physical body is becoming older and weaker. But our spirit inside us is made new every day. Listen, age plus God equals wisdom, doesn't it? When you grow old with God, you get wiser. Growing older with God brings wisdom, and the wisdom of the aged requires respect of the young. Our physical body is becoming older and weaker. The Bible also shows us, and this is the second point, that age brings weakness. Age brings weakness. God paints a vivid picture of this in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And you can follow with me on the bottom of this outline. And you can circle some of the things that he notes that come with aging. Okay? Here's what wise Solomon says. He says, don't let the excitement of youth cause you to forget your Creator. Honor him in the youth before you grow old and say, life's not pleasant anymore. I mean, that's one of the tough things that come with aging, right? You kind of lose your enjoyment of life. You know, your senses are diminishing, and you know what I mean? And you got more aches and pains. So just getting up in the morning is more work, isn't it? Okay, let's be honest about it. It says, remember him before the light of the sun and moon and the stars is dim to your old eyes. Anybody know that reality about eyesight, huh? I'm wearing glasses now. Things like glaucoma. You know what I mean? And it says, and rain clouds darken your sky. That's about really not seeing well, isn't it? Remember God before your legs, the guards of your house, start to tremble. Anybody been there? Yeah. And before your shoulders, the strong men of your house, before your shoulders, stoop. Right? Remember him before your teeth, your few remaining servants, stop grinding. I cracked one yesterday, biting on something. And before your eyes, the woman looking through your windows, see dimly. Remember him before the door to life's opportunities is closed. That's a painful thing about getting older, right? The door to opportunities tend to shrink. Our capacities shrink. And the sound of work fades. Remember God before that. Now you rise at first chirping of the birds, but then all their sounds will grow faint. He's talking about diminished hearing. Remember him before you become fearful of falling and worry about danger in the streets. Before your hair turns white. I'd trade that for bald any day of the week. Like an almond tree in bloom. And you drag along without energy like a dying grasshopper. And the caperberry no longer inspires sexual desire. That decline in libido. He's saying, remember God before this happens. Now listen, I want you to know that that is a pretty vivid word picture, isn't it? About the fact that growing old can kind of strip you of your strength, of your freedom and your liberty, of your capacity to enjoy life, and even of your dignity as you become older and weaker. Age brings weakness, and it makes us more vulnerable and dependent. Sadly, our sense of responsibility for our aged is eroding, as this newscast about a 2007 Metro Detroit crime shows. Watch this.
And with a disturbing story, actually, out of Michigan. An elderly man who needed help, but no one came to his rescue. Here's NBC's Kevin Tibbles.
The violent beating of 91-year-old Leonard Sims was captured on video by security cameras outside a Detroit liquor store. Sims, a World War II vet, was punched repeatedly by a carjacker who stole his keys and drove off.
Before I could say anything, he punched me in the face.
Police say several people stood nearby while the beating went on. And to Sims' disappointment, not a single one came to his aid.
There's a group of people right next to my car. I think very, very bad of them. I think they're cowards.
That those people just stood and watched like vultures.
In a busy world where many of us don't even know our own neighbors, it's often difficult to step forward. Some sociologists suggest humans would rather follow than take the lead.
People think that somebody else will take responsibility. They don't have to. And they also think that any moment the proper authorities will arrive on the scene.
Those who have rushed in where others have failed are often treated as heroes. The man who dove onto the tracks of the New York subway to save a 20-year-old man having a seizure. And the two college students who intervened while former U.S. Senator Carol Moseley Braun was being mugged.
You hear that kind of scream, you know what you have to do.
But for Leonard Sims, there was no help, only brutality. Although late yesterday, police did return his stolen car. For today, Kevin Tibbles, NBC News, Chicago.
Thank goodness he's going to be okay, but...
When I first saw the video, the expanded video where you see the people standing at the other car, I thought for a second they were accomplices, that they were waiting for the car to be stolen and jump in. To find out they were just bystanders who did nothing is inexcusable.
I think people these days are so scared to get involved, but for, I mean, please.
Well, yell, scream, call police, do something, help that man.
Advancing age brings weakness. And God says, therefore, I am to protect or care for the aged. You can write that down. Age brings wisdom, so I'm to respect the aged. Age brings weakness, so I am to protect the aged. Your responsibility to the generations above you is to do what? To respect and protect. Can you tell me again? Respect, protect. Very simple, isn't it? Very simple. That's the essence of what it means to honor them. Most animals care for their young. But no other species cares for its old when they can't care for themselves, only humans. You see, the Ten Commandments aren't about rules. They're about relationships and community. How to love God and how to love others. How to treat others as we would treat God. That's why God commands us to honor and respect those who are older and wiser and weaker than we. Sadly, as we drift from our religious roots, we're losing our sense of responsibility for each other. And for other generations, hence our series, It's All Relative. We used to have an agreement with that the old would not leave the young with debt, and the debt and the young would care for the old in their old age. We've broken that covenant, man, in a big, big way. And now it seems like it's every generation for themselves, and that's not God's way. I want to show you what Jesus said about this. Turn with me to Mark chapter 7. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels. Mark is the second one. It was written by, it was a summary of Peter's preaching that was written by his follower Mark from Rome. In Mark chapter 7, it's also in the outline, by the way, if you want to follow along on that, on the back of it, back page. Jesus, he's criticizing his critics. People that were they're criticizing his followers for not washing their hands in the right way, the right religious way before they ate. He said, you've got to find a way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses his father and mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, whatever you might have received from me, whatever help you might have received from me, otherwise is now korban. That is a gift devoted to God. Then you no longer do let him do anything for his father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And you do many things like that. So you had this, they had this scheme worked out where you could declare my resources, my bank account, it's korban. I'm dedicating it to God. I'm giving it to the temple treasury. And they could live off of their income. And then upon their death, the remainder would go to the temple treasury. And they excused themselves from caring for their aged parents and doing that. It was a scam. And Jesus calls them hypocrites. And he says that excusing yourself from caring for the elderly is inexcusable. You see, honoring your father and mother is much more about showing them obedience when you're little and they're adults. It's about showing them care and respect when they're old and when you are adults. It's primarily about that, not obeying them when you're little to squirt. And the blessing is that as you give respect and care to the elderly, you're teaching the generations beneath you on how to treat you, and that's the blessing in it. You are teaching the generations beneath you, whether you believe it or not. Okay? Old age brings a few responsibilities for the young to respect and protect, but it also brings some responsibilities for the top tier generations. We want to cover those real quickly right now. It has responsibilities for you. Old age brings the responsibility, and write this down, to involve myself with, write that down, involve myself with those younger than I. No matter how old we are or how young we are, we like hanging out with our own generation, don't we? Right? Let's be honest about it. We like hanging with those people that are most like us, and so we tend to gravitate to those in our own developmental strata, the same generation as we are. We naturally segregate from those who are different. And it happened to Jesus' first followers, and he calls them on it in a big way. It's found in Matthew chapter 19, and I've got it in your outline. You can read along here. It says, one day some parents brought their children to Jesus so that he could lay his hands on them and bless them, pray for them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. But Jesus said, let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children. And he placed his hands on their heads and he blessed them before he left. You see, Jesus slammed the door shut on their no kids allowed, adults only religious rules. It was not going to become a one generational club. If we'll admit it, we're a lot like them. When we're young, we don't want to be bothered by the old. And when we're old, we want to be bothered by the young. Unless they're our own young, right? And we'll tolerate them for a while as long as we can send them home with mom and dad. At the end of the day. I knew I'd get an amen out of that one. You know, we retreat to our retirement communities. We flee to Florida. We abandon our kids in our churches. But if you want to truly be like Jesus, man, you've got to involve yourself in the lives of the generations beneath you. You've got a responsibility to help the succeeding generations succeed. So you've got to involve yourself. You've got to integrate with the generations beneath you. Old age brings the responsibility to involve myself with those younger than I, and also to invest myself in those younger than I. Write that. Invest myself in. Okay? You want to follow me? 1 Peter chapter 5. Here's what Pete says. Pete says, to the elders among you I appeal as a fellow elder. I understand where you're coming from. He says, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. I want you to circle that word, be shepherds of. Okay? Now back then, he's using this metaphor, this analogy that they all understand because they live in a pastoral culture. They come from generations and generations and generations of sheep herders, right? How does a shepherd herd sheep? Can you tell me? Not behind. That's how you sure do your cattle. In front. You go over to the Middle East today, you'll see when they pen all their sheep up, they've got 4, 5, 6 different flocks. In the morning, the shepherds come out and they'll start calling their sheep. They'll open the pen and the sheep will follow their shepherd because they know their voice. There's a lesson to the elderly. He says, to the elderly, he says, be shepherds of God's flock. In other words, you've got to get out in front and lead. So I know that as we get older, the temptation is to become armchair quarterbacks. We're going to watch the Super Bowl today, and I know all of you are going to criticize the quarterbacks and the players, right? Guys that are so far above what you are in your skill level, right? Isn't that funny? But we do that when we get older too. Like we'll sit back, I'm not going to do anything to help the team move the ball down the field, but I'm going to armchair quarterback this thing. Hey, go do that. Hey, serve over here. No, man. Pete says, get out in front and lead. get out in front and lead. And don't let it, you might be able to not be able to run as fast or go as far. You might not have the stamina of the young, but you know what? You can get out in front and lead by example. Amen. That's what he's talking about here. Lead from the front. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. Listen, man, God said it, not me. God says the generations beneath you, they are under your care. Okay? And he says, you show care by serving as overseers. You watch over people. You look out for them. That's what we're supposed to do. Not because you must, but because you are willing. Circle that word willing. I see a lot of reluctant people when they're getting, oh, I don't want to do that. Can you help us in the nursery? No, I've already had my kids. They've grown up. I got grandkids now, right? How about with kids' church? No, man, that's for parents. Man, we got to quit pawning stuff off on other people and accept our responsibility to care for the generations beneath us. Okay? I'm just laying it out the way it is, man. He says, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be. God wants you to be a willing investor in the generations beneath you. And he says, not lording it over those entrusted to you. It's easy when you acquire resources, especially money, it's easy to start strong-arming people, isn't it? You know, bullying them. God says, don't bully people with the assets that come with aging. Serve them willingly. He says, be examples to the flock. Circle that word, be examples. That's all about modeling to others what you want them to do. That's about upfront leadership. And he says, when our chief shepherd appears, you'll receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. God says, if you'll lead from the front, he'll reward you. He'll bless you. That's a great promise. Then he goes on, he says, young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. Listen, God is here. He's not talking about formal roles here, okay? He's not talking, you know, I know that one of the things we talk about in the church is there are formal elders, presbyters, okay? But if you look at 1 Peter in his letter, in chapter 3, he talks about wives and husbands. He's talking about counterparts. And in verse chapter 5, he talks about those who are older and those who are younger. He's talking about all of us who are top tiers, top tier generations. He's not talking about just those who have formal positions. If you're older, God's requirement is for you right here. And that's what he expects you to do. Lead from the front. Send an example. Serve willingly. Watch over people. Man, listen, that's a challenge for you. I want to challenge you who are older, you retirees, you empty nesters, and you grandparents. Step up and serve. Do more than just usher and greet people. Okay? Because you're setting an example. It's so important that you act like Jesus, because you've got 2-3 generations beneath you that are sometimes they're looking up at you, aren't they? Your example is so much more powerful. Here's Paul's words to the elderly in Timothy. He says, teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith and love and endurance. Then he says, likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. And he says, then they can train the younger women. Listen, man, if you are older, you are a trainer. God says, you are a trainer. So act like it. Invest in those generations beneath you. I just want to close with a prayer. I want to invite you to join with me real quickly. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father God, that you pass your plan down from generation to generation. Thank you for placing us in families and churches and in cultures that have the richness of multiple generations, where we can be inspired and energized by the young and be guided and advised by the old, Lord. We thank you for that. Father, forgive us in 21st century America for isolating ourselves from other generations, Lord. From neglecting to invest ourselves in and involve ourselves with those generations beneath us. For neglecting to respect and protect the generations above us. God, forgive us. We thank you for these rules that enrich our relationships, Lord. And we pray and ask that you would guide us and show us how to apply these rules in our lives so that we can experience the full life that Jesus promised us. We praise you and we thank you. And Lord, help us develop an attitude of gratitude about the generations above us and the generations below us. Help to appreciate them for what you've placed them in our lives to be, Lord. Amen.